Welcome to episode 22 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. I'm sorry, I can't talk podcast. My name is Andrea. I'm here with...
I'm Andrew.
And we actually have a special guest today. His name is Aaron. Say hi, Aaron.
Hi. How's
it going? He's actually Aaron the art guy, if you guys didn't know. You'll get to know Aaron by the end of the episode. So just really quick, our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning podcast. If you want to email us about anything, tell us we suck. You hate us, you love us, you want to feature your music on here, you can email us at justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. And Aaron, are there any social media handles you want to highlight?
Maybe just the Downtown Phoenix Record Show Instagram. It's DTPHX Record Show on Instagram.
That's how you know it's real, because they didn't spell out Phoenix. They put the PHX.
It's, yeah, PHX. We're from the streets. That's how they do that in the streets, right?
It's like, no, it's a thing.
It's like we looked it up.
Marketing guys, marketing. So, and that's December 8th, correct?
Yep, December 8th at the Crescent Ballroom.
So are you going to be there?
Yeah, I will be there. I'll be spinning records. I think I'm spinning records with you, dude.
Yay, I know. I'm excited. Yay, I know.
Everyone's spinning
I'm nervous records. And excited at the same time. I'm always nervous to play, but I'm excited to go, and because we're actually going to have a table there, Andrew and I, and then there's going to be a table with the girls for the Crate Creepers group. And there's just going to be so many people there coming through. There's going to be giveaways, right?
Oh, yeah. We have crazy sponsors this year. Last year, we didn't do any giveaways. This year it's a little different, but we have U-Turn is donating some turntables. So you have a chance to, every time, anyone that buys a ticket for entry gets three tickets, basically raffle tickets. And throughout the day, we're going to be giving away a bunch of free stuff. We have some, you know, record cleaner stuff and a couple other things. I mean, we're still kind of working all the details out, but we do have the turntables for sure. And, the record cleaner stuff and, I don't know, some records and things.
So
like
much
that.
Just good. Just you're like, there's just good shit. Just come
through. It'll be fun. It'll be good. It'll be worth your time at least. You could win some shit. Who doesn't want to win stuff?
Yeah, you spend $3, you might win a damn U-turn, which is pretty decent amount of change right there.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you know, it's like a $500 turntable or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, U-turns and Nesnet are not cheap.
Yeah.
So the, so how much are the tables?
Tables just to rent a table is $35 for a 6-foot table. And it's limited to 3 tables max. You can't have more than 3 tables. Right now we have about 20 tables left. We pretty much announced it last week. So we're about half sold on tables space. So if you want a table to sell records, get at us quick.
And we and anybody that's selling there, they can sell records and anything. Like if they have turntables they want to sell and stuff, they can sell that to t-shirts, anything like that.
Anything, whatever you feel like. It's kind of a marketplace. We're trying to, you know, have more records than anything. But, you know, if you have a few little things that you want to get rid of that's record related or kind of you think that would fit that space, you're more than welcome to contact us. And, you know, we can work out the details.
Cool. So I think we're all excited about that and looking forward to it. I know I've been talking about that with everybody, letting them know, because there's a lot of people that just, you know, there's so many different spaces here and not everyone's always connected. So like I went to Trill.
Yeah.
I told you about Trill. Remember before? I think I did.
We talked.
So I went there again and I was telling, there was a guy that was working there and I was telling him, and he said he has like a bunch of records like in his personal collection that he's selling, like thousands. So I was like, go get a table, and he's like, okay. So he said he's going to look it up, so hopefully he emails you guys.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, that'd be great.
And especially because I want to know what he has.
Yeah, sure, man. We're trying to get new sellers, like, you know, we have some of the guys, because there's another record fair that they do like every couple of months out here at the Columbus, or what is
it, Tracks and Wax one.
Yeah, the Tracks and Wax record show. A record fair. We're trying to get some of those guys, but you know, those guys can be. We were trying to get new, fresh blood in the space. So
yeah, to bring more people together.
Yeah, exactly. And the people downtown that live in that area, they're into cool stuff and they like everything. So it's different. It's good.
And the kitchen will be open to the, like, their kitchen, like, normal, like, Crescent, maybe?
We're not sure yet on that. We're working out the details.
Okay. So if it is, if I find out, I'll harass Aaron and let you guys know, because some people get hungry when they're digging. So
we're going to have, I think we're going to have a coffee cart out front in the morning. So if you want coffee, that'll be there.
Okay.
Well, you know, we're supposed to interview Coco later this month, so hopefully.
It'll be more finalized. Because
it's like right before the record show, he's supposed to be our interview.
Yeah, so we're super pumped to have him on. So this is like, I guess you could say, just
the pre.
Free.
The
pre-free.
Yeah.
Getting ready.
Getting ready.
And let's see. Okay, really quick, let me highlight some events. So an event I wanted to highlight was the Grand Avenue Festival is Saturday, November 10th. From 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And it says after hours is 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's a free event. There's free parking. There's so much going on. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, actually, I'll be painting live at the Grand Avenue Festival on Saturday.
Where at? What location?
I don't know yet.
You're going to be painting in the backyard right now?
I mean, I could be. I mean, I got space, man. Don't tempt me.
So right now we're at the backyard of Grand Ave. We're in the Trans Am.
I'll say it. I was allowed in the He Man Woman Haters Club in the back. It's really not.
You guys just talk about it. It's like Fight Club too, man.
It's a secret location. So there goes Andrew. You can't ever stop laughing. So
we're back here. So if you hear any cars driving by or dogs barking or anything else, because we are literally
there's
outside.
No dogs.
I heard a dog barking right here. There's a house right there.
There is a house right there. And there's dogs right there, but they don't bark all the time. Look.
All the time. But I'm just saying.
It's your imagination.
It's potential. But no, but super cool. So you're gonna be painting. Are you?
Me and my buddy Miguel Ibarra are gonna do like a kind of a collaboration piece on a thing. So yeah, it'll be cool. I think we'll be painting almost all day, so it'll be fun.
So do you have something kind of in mind that pre-prepared, or are you just gonna kind of?
Well, I actually just talked to Miguel about it last night.
So you have it in the works, but
yeah, we're still figuring out exactly what we're gonna do.
But that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Let us know though, so we can stop by and see you.
Oh, for sure.
Because we'll come by.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we'll be here just walking around, doing what we always do, just admiring the art and supporting Grand Avenue.
Totally. Dope.
And then another event is on Sunday, November 11th. It's the Arizona Hip Hop Festival. It's from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Comerica Theater.
Oh.
Let's see here. That was another thing that there's just since it's the fall, there's a lot of stuff going on because it's cooler, so everybody wants to actually come out and do things.
Yeah, like be outside, like right now.
Like we are right now in the backyard.
In Phoenix, it's pretty hot. We're located in Arizona. Just if you guys already didn't know that, we were located in Arizona, and it is deadly hot during summertime.
AC only.
AC, the AC life for sure. And then one more event I wanted to highlight was one of my favorite bands of all time is doing two shows back to back. So the first one is January 28th and the second one's January 29th and it's actually at Crescent. And it's Thursday. I don't know if you know who that is, but this band called Thursday. The first night they're going to do Full Collapse in Full and the second night it's going to be We're All the Time in Full. So I've
at
already seen
Crescent?
Full. Yeah, I've already seen them do Full Collapse 10 years ago. In full, and that was amazing. And then
what weekend is this?
January 28th and 29th. So you got time, Aaron. Okay, got time.
Okay. No, because I have a friend coming into town this month, and him and I, we like that Full Collapse album was just, you know, we were like, I don't know how, we were like, I don't know, 19 probably.
Yeah, because
we
were like 16.
I think. It was like. That fucking album was the album.
That album was the shit.
Yes, yeah. Like, I know.
Could not get enough of this stuff, man. So, yeah. Interesting.
Well, there. See, Aaron did not know that. So maybe we'll see you there, Aaron. So yeah,
maybe.
So I definitely want to go both nights. I was like, if I can only make it to one, I'd rather do World of Time because I've already seen Full Collapse, but he hasn't seen the Full Collapse one. So
I might just go by myself.
Oh no! Oh. Wow. He's like, I'm gonna go with Aaron
out on the weekend. Oh, yeah,
there you go. You can go with Aaron.
Like, double me and Aaron
date,
are going.
Yeah. Double date.
It's date, dude. Going on a date.
The continuation.
It's a date. We just made a freaking date on this podcast.
Are you guys gonna meet here in the backyard? You're gonna go.
Duh. That's gotta meet, man. That's where the dudes meet.
And so that it go, you can do your segment now, babe.
Okay. And so whenever we have a guest, we like to ask them, do you know the number one song, like, of the Hot 100, Billboard Hot 100, on the day of your birth?
Oh, wow.
Just take a wild guess.
Let's see. 1982. Oh.
He's like, ooh, yikes. Maybe think. Blondie?
No, I think it might have been maybe a Michael Jackson song, okay, or maybe, yeah, Madonna.
So on the week of July 7th, which is your birthday, 1982, Do You Want Me, The Human League was the number one song.
Oh, that's a good song.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So, I mean, hey, it could have been like, I don't know,
something else.
Garth Brooks. I mean, that probably was number one in the country.
And we always do it from like when you're 14, because the number one song when you were 14 is supposed to define your life or something, some shit like that. Oh my
God, okay. So we'll see if this is true.
So I always do the top 10. So number 10 was Monica, Why I Love You So. I don't know.
I love that song. It's right, it's a slow jam ballad thing.
Yeah. And number 9 was Quad City DJs, Come and Ride It.
Oh, that's a great song. Come on.
Number 8 was Keith Sweat, Twisted.
That's a good one.
Dude, these are all heaters.
Yeah. Dude, this
is on my life list. Is awesome.
This is a dope list. This is 1996, so it was like,
it's great. A good time. Yeah, it was good, like, time. A
great time.
Mariah Carey, Always Be My Baby.
Okay. I love that song, classic.
Celine Dion, Because I Love You.
All right. Well, what was that? What was it? Celine Dion was what?
Number 6. Macarena.
Oh,
this was number 5. I'm sorry.
Damn. I'm sorry.
The bottom was all right, and now, like, it's getting to the top.
That's all right. That's all right.
Man. Like...
Number 3 was Tracy. Wait, did I go number 4?
Oh.
Number 4 was Give Me One Reason, Tracy Chapman.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Tracy Chapman. Can't go wrong with her.
Number 3, Crossroads, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Wow. Damn. Lil Thug Aaron.
That was number 3?
That was number 3. Number 2, Toni Braxton, You're Making Me
High.
You're Making Me High. And number 1.
Okay, do you have a guess?
Shit.
Okay, think. Toni Braxton, You're Making Me High was number 2. So what would have been number 1?
You know?
I don't know. Was it Brandy?
No, it's not Brandy. But she doesn't know. She does not know.
What year did Aaliyah?
I don't know. Like, when he does the segment, I have no clue. He does that all by himself. So I'm hearing it for the first time, just as you.
All right, number 1, when you're 14, on the week of your birthday, supposedly. It's supposed to define your life.
According to Billboard.
How Do You Want It? / California Love, Tupac featuring Casey and JoJo.
Oh, okay.
That was a good one. Yeah. That was all right.
Yo, know, my life is awesome. See?
How do you want it? All right. Yeah. Cool.
California Love and you're,
yeah.
You're from sense. California.
I'm from California. Wow. Coincidence?
I think not.
Serendipitous.
So, okay.
Just to let people know, I apologize if we're like, when we laugh, it's really loud because...
Do you have the levels up higher?
Yeah, no, I just, the levels were just maybe a little too high, but you know what? You can enjoy our laughter with us.
Yeah.
Oh, I won't laugh directly into the mic.
You're no, it's dude. Not you, it's me, Andrea.
You're like, ah, how obnoxious.
Sorry. We're good. We're good. Go on, Andrea. So let's get this started.
Okay, so Aaron. So like we said, we're here to interview Aaron. And like we said, we're always showcasing people that are into the art community, record community, anything like that, anybody that's sort of community driven or contributing to it. So we've known Aaron for, I don't know how long we've known you, Aaron.
A year now?
Yeah, something like that. Something around there.
We met you shortly after the store opened. Because I remember we met you at the Knights of Columbus show. And then we came here.
Oh,
and you
that's
were here.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
You know what? That was probably a year ago.
That was the first time we met.
Because it was cooler out. I remember it was still cool out.
That was. Because I remember you were just, he was sitting in the corner.
Yeah. And you're over there. And I think, I don't know who you were selling with. But you're selling there at the Knights of Columbus show.
Yeah.
And then I was like, hey, let's go visit Coco since we're already over here. And then we came here. I was like, dude, that's isn't that dude at the...
Yeah.
At the other show.
That's that dude we saw over there.
Yeah. This is when you had long... This is long hair, Aaron.
Yeah, long hair. Yeah,
he's like, let's not talk about
let's
that.
Let's not talk about that. A little traumatized still.
So
sorry.
God.
I totally forgot, but that was the first time we met Aaron. So, but yeah. So Aaron's cool, chill guy. We always have good conversation with him, and he always has his own stuff in the works going on. So Aaron, as we already said, California Love, so you're not from here, correct?
No, nope. I'm from California. I was born in California, but spent most of my adult life in Washington, D.C. So that was cool.
Oh, an actual in D.C.?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I didn't know if you were from like D.C. or from like Washington, the state.
No. Yeah. Washington, D.C.
That's totally different over there.
Yeah. Yeah. East Coast. It was cool. Yeah.
So is it like when you were younger, you grew up in California, correct?
Yeah. I grew up in the desert, actually. And then I moved out to the forest. Like, cause that place, that area is pretty forested. And, you know, I grew up in the desert and it was like so brown and so tan and just hot. And then I'd go back east because my grandparents live there and I'd go visit them. And I'd just, you know, it'd be so green and lush. And I'd be like, wow, this is.
Did you fall in love?
I did, man. It was crazy. It was like so different, you know, like the desert to the forest, obviously, is pretty different. And that, as a young person, really inspired me, you know.
So when you were younger living in the desert in that area, like terrain, because we're a desert technically, yeah, here too, totally. But like I guess we're a little still different though.
We're very close though. It's very similar.
Very similar. Yeah, do you feel like the people are similar?
No.
Okay. I would say no either. Yeah, I mean, no as well. Like, so when you were growing up, so I'm assuming you like went through all through high school when you were in California, correct? Because since you said you moved to DC when you were an adult.
Yeah.
So when you were a young adult, right?
I thought I was an adult.
You thought you were an adult? I think we've all been there. Once you get some years in you.
I'm 18. I make my own fucking rules. Leave me alone. You know? Like, fuck you, mom and dad.
And you don't realize that you don't know anything. You actually don't know anything, but you do because you're 18. Yeah. That's what I always tell people, like when someone's like, oh, she or he is like this, but they're really mature for your age. But I'm like, but you can only be so mature when you're young.
You need, it takes experiences, you know.
You need life experience for sure. Yeah. So when you were younger and growing up in the desert before you ran off to D.C., because obviously you're an artist. So was music and art always a part of your life? Like, were your parents into music and art, or how was that in your household?
I think that's kind of where, when I was younger, my dad, he was like really into like weird little like hobbies and stuff, and I think as a kid that really like helped me be creative. And I was always around like weird little like art community people. My parents were pretty creative, so that I think that really kind of shaped my path, I guess, at least for me personally. Like, my brother is totally opposite of me. He's like, you know, army guy, ready to go. You know,
more straight lace, not as hippie.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a little hippie. He smokes a lot of weed. But he's in California, so he can't, you know.
Yeah, it's legal. It's legal.
Yeah,
okay.
It's legal, right? And if it isn't, it's cool, man.
Mind your business. Not her, no.
Moving on.
So, okay, so.
There's no weed. No, we do not care about weed on this podcast.
Do what you want.
Okay, that's cool.
Do what you want.
Do what you want. Live your best life.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, what do they say? Alcohol is worse than weed.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah.
It can be. Potentially. For some people. Exactly.
I think a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah.
What if you drink and smoke weed?
If I drink and smoke weed, I'm thrown up. You don't want to be around me. I'm like, I'm annoying.
Yeah, I'm a mess.
Yeah, dude. Like, you're going to be babysitting me and shit. Like,
aw, poor Aaron. So we'll know if we see it. We're like, put the bottle down, Aaron.
Yeah. Are you smoking weed too? I don't think you should be doing that.
Oh my God. He's like, I lived in the desert, man. That's all there is to do out there.
Straight up, man. I grew up in a really, really small town. The town I grew up in was, we had one stoplight. We didn't have any sidewalks. It was 35 minutes to the nearest like city that had like a mall and like you can go actually.
So what would have been like the big city that you guys would have drove into?
Palmdale and Lancaster.
Oh, so not really like.
Not even a big city.
It's like a suburb more, right? Right.
It's like a suburb of a suburb of a suburb of a suburb, because it's kind of like it's just.
Is it like going to Glendale in here, a kind of ish? Like,
no,
would it
it's
be?
Like more like driving from Queen Creek. Like, if you lived in Queen Creek and then you like.
To like Tempe or something?
Yeah. Like that, basically. So.
So growing up. So when you were like in your, like we said, in your younger years, you said your parents were always into like they had their own little hobbies and things going on like that. So when did you actually start like drawing and doing art? Was it something
always,
like you?
It was always.
Always?
Yeah, it was like I was always interested in, like, you know, the creating comics. I loved comic books as a kid. I liked just being, I didn't really know what I was doing, you know. I didn't know why I liked it. I just liked it. I thought it looked cool, you know.
You enjoyed it.
Yeah. And then, you know, as I got older, I started experimenting and got into graffiti in high school. And then I'd been painting graffiti from probably about 15 till I was, I really quit graffiti after I got popped a few times, which sucked.
So what was your name? Like, everyone has like their name when they do like tagging sort. Well, there's, I know there's a difference between like graffiti and tagging, but like,
well, no, there's a, I mean, they're,
they go hand in hand.
Yeah, I tagged on a bunch of shit.
Did you go through different names though?
I still tag on shit sometimes. I don't give a fuck. But you know, like, whatever, you know, like,
yo, sometimes I just feel like, you know what, I'm going to fucking tag on that shit.
Yeah, I am. It's not going to be your house or somebody's, like, you know, school or some shit. But, you know, it's like a...
Yo, I have respect, man.
Yeah, I have a, there's a certain line of, like, yo, ethics.
I know the rules, by, you know? Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I kind of wrote a bunch of stuff. But I got really into painting trains. A lot of, like, train graffiti for a long time.
Well, when the town you lived in, was there, like, consistent trains that went through?
No, there I was just... painting like whatever random shit I could find, you know, like old like water towers that were out in the middle of the desert, just fucking little abandoned houses that had brick walls in their backyard, shit like that.
And was there, did you have like a little crew you were in, like, not oh, yeah. not that you were named or anything, but like kids you rolled with?
Oh fuck yeah, dude. I was like, I had to have a crew, you know. It was like that's how I got down. I was like, everybody was, you know, just needed your little community. I think that's what really sparked my interest in community too, was just that, you know, that commonality that we all shared. We're all different, but we had that underlining kind of thing that we all could appreciate and share with one another and kind of, you know, put out there in a way, legally and illegally.
Yeah, I get down both sides, okay? Yeah. So when you were out there, so what kind of stuff was, like we said, okay, we did your hold when you were 14, like yeah. what was number one and things like that. So like, how was the culture there as far as, because I remember I had a previous conversation with you where you said that you guys had desert parties and things yeah. like that. So like, would that be like every weekend or how would that work?
Oh yeah, that was like every weekend, at least in like high school, you know. But like where I grew up in the town, it was so void of any real culture because it was just this weird air. I don't even know how to
like a flatland of desert.
Yeah, and it was just, this happened to be a town that was there, you know, and there people that live there, and there was a bunch of kids that live there, and we all kind of like, we didn't like each other necessarily, but we all lived together in this area, so we had to kind of get along on some level, which was interesting. But yeah, in high school definitely there was rave culture, and that was like the 90s, so it was
like the peak of it.
Yeah, it was like popping, you know, like 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, like all through like 2000, early 2000s even, you know. So
were there other like crews in your town, because your town was so small, were there other like little party crews in your town?
There was a shit ton of crews out there, like party crews. I wasn't that deep in all that. I was with some people that were into that, but I never really, like,
you know,
in high school, to be honest, I went to raves and stuff, but I was really into punk rock when I was like,
oh,
I was like,
okay,
really into, like, you know.
So what kind of like punk are you talking about? Like, I mean, the basic stuff, like that's what you got into at first and then it evolved? Or
yeah, I mean, I always liked music. I grew up with music always, but then it was like primarily punk, you know, like Bad Brains and, you know, Minor Threat, you know, a lot of the East Coast stuff. I had a lot of East Coast influence before I even realized that it was like influencing me in the way it was. Just kind of subconsciously was connected to all that, because I ended up moving to DC in my 20s, and then I met
the DC like punk hardcore scene. Yeah, because so I'm from out here. Like I always tell everybody, knows if you listen consistently, I'm from here. But like I was for some reason so attracted to the whole Discord
totally
record thing, and like the Descendants, and like I don't know why, but I just loved that, and I like got a box set. It was like when it came out, the 20 years of Discord.
Oh, cool!
Do you remember that box? Okay, yeah. I bought that. I tracked it down. At the time, I had to take the bus to this place called Monkey Mambo that used to be here.
Okay,
it hasn't existed. It actually, there's one in California, but it used to be by Metro Center Mall.
Okay.
Okay, so it used to be over there. I can't remember what it is now. But I remember I rode the bus all the way over there from where I lived at just to buy that stupid-ass box set because I just wanted to hear what was in it so fucking bad. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, so, and when I went to go buy it, the guy was super excited because he's like, he wasn't from here. So, you know, his musical palette was a little bit different. But he was like, I ordered a few of these. He's like, and I've been waiting for people to come in and no one has came in and requested. And he's like, you're my first request. And that's he was great. Super nice and gave me like free stickers and stuff. Yeah. So I thought I was all excited about that. But Discord was in DC was really something that I really loved too. So it's always interesting to hear people reference that. So
and it's really interesting because where I lived in DC, I actually was the same neighborhood that Ian MacKay from who actually owns Discord and runs Discord. He lived down the street and I'd see him every single morning.
Really?
On my commute to work when I lived in DC, I would walk to the bus and on my walk to the bus, I'd see him and his kid just walking down the street, walking the opposite way. And I'd see him every single morning. It was kind of surreal, you know, moment when you're just seeing like your high school, like, I don't know, like icons and shit.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
People that you really looked up to as like a kid that, you know, as an adult, they're like, they're just regular people too.
Did you ever see the Discord house?
I actually got to go to one party there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
That's
it
dope.
Was super random. And I met a girl there who, my ex-girlfriend, and it was pretty weird, but it was kind of surreal too. I was like, holy shit, this is like,
it's history.
Yeah, it was like, wow. And then, I guess like a week later, they tore the house down.
Yeah. So you're like, But that's cool that you got to go.
Yeah.
I wonder, so was it like the going away party? You don't know.
No. It was. They had been throwing shows at that house, I guess. And it was like, I guess it was, might have been like a farewell to this house kind of.
But unofficially, in a sense, probably.
Yeah, maybe something like that. I went because somebody invited me to go and I didn't know. And until I got to the house and I was like, yo, is this what, you know, this? And they're like, oh, yeah, totally. And it was interesting. Yeah.
That's cool. I never knew that about you, Aaron. Yeah. Look, we learn new stuff every day. So, so you said you were like into punk rock and then you went into party crews. So how long, like when did you stop? I guess when and why? I don't know. Actually, maybe you still go. I don't know. Did you stop like getting out of that scene? Is it because it was more dying? Like the
party scene?
The party scene, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was, as like a young person, I was like, I had a lot of opinions about certain things. You know, I was like judging a lot of things based on what I thought was kind of whack and not whack and shit like that. So like,
just being young.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm still that way. We're all still that way as an adult, but you know, I can understand and appreciate it a little more. Whereas younger, I was just kind of like kind of ignorant, you know, and into whatever. But so, you know, it was, I think, I don't know. It just kind of, it wasn't, you know,
it wasn't like there's not like a memory where you have, where you're like, I'm not going to go. It just kind of happened one day. You're just like, I guess I just don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like even I really like electronic music and I, you know, I felt like electronic music was the future of punk rock because when I was younger, I saw punk rock as this beautiful, crazy thing that created this, I don't know, like disrupted something and it just made me feel great. But I knew at a time that punk rock was like the new punk that was coming out, like, I don't know. I know people are going to probably hate on this shit, but a fucking NoFX, man, like that type of pop punk and this Descendants, they were on that level, but Descendants did it first and they did it in this way that made it less like.
It's just their own little thing. They're in their own pocket.
Yeah, we're like, you know, these like mainstream, you know.
Like I never liked Blink-182.
Same kind of stuff.
I just didn't care about it.
I could not relate to it.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't raw. It wasn't like the real emotions of like punk to me. It was like too surface. So anyways, so punk to me was like in this. There wasn't a lot of paths that it could go change to. So I saw electronic music as kind of like the evolution of punk rock.
Because of the community around it too?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was more like the music. It's always about it's more about the art form, I think, for me. And then you know, that stems the other parts, the community, you know, the, you know, whatever have you, the inspiration of like more people getting into it and doing it, or, you know what I mean? So yeah, I saw electronic music as like an extension of, or like an evolution more of kind of punk rock music in a way.
What I always think is really interesting too. So like, I feel like there was the party crews back in the day, but there was the different types. Like there was the party crews that were more of like the Chicano driven, and then there was more like the ones that were more rave driven in a sense.
So like that was one thing I was younger, I was like, I don't really understand like what, you know, what is the difference and like why, like rebels and shit, you know, like rebel crews and fucking, you know, all that. Like I didn't really understand a lot of that. I was like, do they like house music or do they not like house music? Like, I don't get it.
Girl, I just like music, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so, and I had friends that were into, you know, both, all kinds of things. So like, obviously my friends as a young person helped influence my interest too, you know? So yeah, I don't know.
So you're more though into like just your surroundings that you happen to be around are more like the rave stuff. And I hate using the word rave too, because I think people,
it was more of a rave style.
But people have the wrong, like, yeah, people that have never actually been into it, they just think of like there's flashing lights and there's all this shit and all the like, yeah, glow sticks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, right? And that was the parts that I didn't like about it. Like the culture around some of the rave culture around,
like
it,
the subcultures in that subculture
were like, I could not, it was not my cup of tea.
Like Candy Kids and shit like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like the glow sticks thing, and you know, it's cool. Like I get it.
It's your thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like to party and I like to get fucked up, and like, you know, like see cool shit too. You know, it's awesome, but I don't know. It's just kind of corny for me, so.
Yeah. You're just more, like you said, you just like to vibe and listen to music, have exactly a good time.
Yeah.
I've always been that way.
Yeah, pretty much, man. It's just, you gotta keep it, you know, I do what I know.
So something you had mentioned that I wanted to ask about going back a little bit, yeah, was you talked about doing graph on trains.
Yeah.
So is that like a whole different ballgame to just normal graph, like street graffiti, or is it?
Well, at this point in time, probably not. But you know, back in quite a few years ago, it was different, you know. I mean, you know, I think a lot of the stuff too has changed because of technology, and you know, like our communities are not, where the communities back then were more about, like, we didn't have the internet stuff, you know. We knew because, yo, Dre, you told me about this. Andrew, you told me about this. You know what I mean? Like, yo, let's go check this thing out. And we, like, share this conversation together in person. And I think that, like, that, I don't know. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was harder
personable
to find it. Yeah. And it was harder to find stuff. And if I trusted you and, like, what you were into, then I would go with you. But if I didn't trust you, it'd be like, maybe not. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
kind of like with anything. But it's like now with the internet stuff, it, you know, it all kind of the things that are different about it aren't as different anymore. So
I always say, one of my friends and I, we had conversations. We just have, her and I have random conversations about stuff, but we kind of touch base something similar where we're like, sometimes though, like if you back in the day and you were into something and you saw someone around, you kind of knew that they were into it, but now it's so easy, and it's not like a clout thing or anything like that, yeah, but it's so easy to say like, you know, or you've experienced something when you're just only experienced it through a screen,
yeah,
and you're not actually going out there and like, and not that you have to be a social butterfly and talk to everybody, but like just being in that atmosphere, like around that quote, yeah, unquote scene. Like,
well, I mean, you know, people fucking give off energy, man. Screens give off different energy, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the same, you know? Like,
I mean, it can even go to as far as like when we have conversations about music,
mm-hmm,
us three or with, you know, whoever, yeah, we're around, recommendations and like, you know, you need a vibe on this. That's, you know, those are the conversations that I enjoy the most.
Totally.
When someone recommends something to me on the internet, it's, yeah, it's cool, but I'm more likely to get something that you recommend,
yeah,
to me in a personal conversation than some random dude I talk to on the internet.
Yeah.
And I think it's more or less just because it's just being that, like you said, that personable. I know you personally. So I trust your judgment more than I trust some other person.
Exactly. And, you know, that's an interesting kind of, you know, way to kind of look at it, too, is like, do you trust, you know, like, trust? That's a big thing, you know, like, do we trust each other now? Like, I don't know.
I guess I trust Andrew.
she guessed she trusts me.
I guess I stood in front of a bunch of people and said, I really trust this guy. But we trust you as well, though. We trust, like, your taste. Like, if you were to recommend something to us, like the 45 that you just gifted us, like, we're like, okay, we're excited to hear what's on here because we trust Aaron's judgment or taste. We're like, what's on here? We're curious, right?
Yeah, you're going to, you told me. I think I like this, but I think it fits you better than it fits me.
Totally. You know,
and I was just like, well, like, what do you mean? You're like, you're gonna like it. It just fits you better than it fits me. And I didn't understand what you were saying until I played it.
But it piques your interest.
Then I was like, and I was super pumped to get it. Yeah. And so then, like I said, our turntables weren't even up, and so I put it on our Crossley, which is, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, a goddamn sin.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Aaron's like,
what the fuck are you doing, man?
He's like, give it to me. Yeah,
give it
back.
Ah, no, dude. Yeah.
And so I played it. And then, you know, like I said, the one side was like, you know, your regular, you know, I don't even know what kind
of. It was like a corrido, in a way.
Like in music. But on the back side, it was like Latin soul.
Yeah.
And it was so, like, it spoke to me, like, immediately. I was like, what is this?
Nice.
Yeah. I was like, and so like we were blown away.
We played it a few times
just to like take it in. Yeah. And like there's nothing on Discogs on that record.
Oh no.
I Googled.
Yeah, you can't find it.
I Googled.
I can't find anything about it.
Well, there's an address on the record. So I Googled the address just to see if I could see this house that this basically record label was run out of. The address doesn't even exist anymore.
Solo.
Like, there's nothing.
Solo Records.
Yeah. But like I even tried to Google just the Solo Records. Yeah. Nothing exists. The address on there, like the whatever house it existed out of space, it literally was demolished and just doesn't exist anymore. So it's like it's interesting because then I'm going to, if we really want to figure out more, we're going to have to go out and actually talk to people. I can't online and be read some
We're going to have to find people who have been here recording for years.
There's
years
someone
and
that
years.
I think we can talk to that.
Yeah, we're working.
We're working on this person. Cool.
Yeah, so hopefully
I think we'll be able to get.
And you know him.
Yeah,
you know who he is.
You know who he is.
We don't want to. We don't.
We're not gonna say his name.
Cause
we don't, we don't know. I heard from multiple people that we might be able to talk to him, but he doesn't really know us. So I think it's
okay.
It's gonna be one of those things that we don't know when it's gonna happen, but hopefully we can talk to him because
I'm sure there'll be a great opportunity coming up soon.
Yeah. I mean, he's significantly older than us. We'll just say that.
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah, so I think there'll be an opportunity for you to talk to him soon.
Yeah. So
at the Downtown Record Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's a Downtown Phoenix Record Show.
I'm super excited for it because Homeboy with the 45. So, geez, I always forget his name.
Johnny D.
Yeah.
Johnny D is going to be there. And last time I didn't get to dig his stuff.
I didn't either.
But
you know, I'm like, sometimes.
I really didn't want to because
sometimes on certain,
especially 45s.
I just want to go.
So
I just want to talk to him. But like, hey, Johnny D, where's all your like your dope stuff? So I just can look at that.
Give me your best shit, man.
Let me. That's because that's all
can
I
you
care
afford
about.
Afford it? That's
no,
idea.
It's true.
Actually,
some people.
No.
It's like I have a shiny $100 bill.
Yeah,
what can I get for shiny?
I got this much money.
Yeah. He's like, you can't afford anything in that back box.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what happened. Tell him when you went to one of the record stores in California.
Oh, yeah. So when we went to a vinyl store out in California, there was a gentleman that walked in, was talking nonsense, saying, oh, well, you know, this is all common music. You don't worry. Where's all the heaters? He's like, what do you mean? Where's like the heaters? Like, where's all the rare stuff? He's like, on the internet.
Yeah.
He's like, well, why aren't you selling it to the people? He's like, listen, man. He's like, why am I going to have a dealership full of Ferraris when all you want to come in is with Chevy money?
Yeah. You know, like, I know you ain't got no Ferrari
like,
money.
He's like, you ain't got the money for that. So why are you asking for it?
Well, he's like, if you ask and you have the money, yeah, obviously. But I'm not going to sit here and keep that all out for everybody to be.
Most people don't want to spend $100 on a record. You know what? People don't want to spend $20 on a record. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, there was a point in time where I was getting a little wild and I was spending some money on records.
Totally.
But now,
no, not on records, on a
record.
On
145.
Like singular.
You know, I think my limit is like $30, $40 at the most, and it has to be like a really, really good jam. But, like, I'm like, if I just wait, I might find it.
Yeah.
Like, we were just talking about the. Well, okay, so let's go back. So, records. Did your parents have a record player growing up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's how I got started in records in general. It's like my, you know, my mom, my dad had records, so they, you know, they'd always put them on and we'd dance and listen to them.
So it was nothing like you, like you were always familiar with it because it was just kind of there.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like it was comfortable. You know, it made me feel. I don't know why, but the memory is like it's like just something about having the record is, I don't know, comforting.
It's familiar.
Yeah, exactly.
So when did you actually start, though, like having your own records? Like, did you ever inherit your parents or?
I got a couple from my parents, but I really started digging probably when I was about, I don't know, 17, 16, 17. That was when I really started. So that was like, I don't know, 97, 98, around there.
So that was like obviously the golden age of collecting records because no one was buying records during that time period.
Shit, I don't even know, man. I was a fucking...
He's like, I was just a kid.
I was a kid, yeah, man. I didn't know. I just...
So were you collecting
punk records?
Yeah, I was saying, were you just collecting punk records?
And this was this in D.C.? Because
no, this is here. This is in California.
California, okay.
Yeah.
So when you moved, when you were in California, where did you drive out to actually buy records? Like,
you know what, man? I had, for the longest time, this is up until maybe 2 years ago, I had that rule. You know, we were just talking about like how much you want to spend on a record. If I spent more than $3 on one record, I wasn't going to buy it. I had to be under $3.
Because you were spoiled from your old memories.
I don't know. I would literally go to all the thrift stores and go through the record collections or whatever. And, you know, they're a dollar, they're 99 cents. And I got spoiled on that 99 cents.
Yeah. I told you.
Now they're like $3 bucks at Goodwill.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And that's kind of annoying.
And it does make you like, do I really want to buy this for $3? Like, yeah. You do that. Like,
totally. Yeah. You question yourself. You're like, but, you know, now that I'm older and I have like a stable job and shit, I don't really care. I'm like, yeah, I want to spoil myself. So
I'm an adult.
Fuck it. I'm going to spend $180 on 45. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So you know what? Yeah, I spent 145, but it's all right. Yeah. No, it's nothing.
Yeah, I have another paycheck.
It's not
coming.
Nothing.
I have another paycheck coming.
There's a lot of, there's still a lot of like, questioning whether or not this is a good idea, you know, that buyer's remorse type.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. So, but like, I have there's these dudes in this like that listen to soul music that I know, and this isn't a different. There's a chat, the thread of like record collectors that me and Dre both in. Well,
and you know how people who are into soul music are, though, right? Yeah. They're really, you know.
And so this dude was like, "Hey guys, check this jam out. I just spent $450 on this 45," and I was like, "He's all, if you ain't got the money, then you know it's whatever." I'm like, I have the money. I'm just not stupid. I ain't spending $450 on no fucking record.
Yeah.
I better come with a lot of... how many records I can buy for $450?
Yeah, I know. We talk about this all the time. The weight of like what you do in life is compared to how many records you can buy with that amount of money. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to go to Jamaica. Oh, shit. It's $1,200. Fuck. You can get a lot of records.
I can grab a couple collections.
The scale is always weighted against records, man. It's like fucked up, man.
We had that conversation earlier in the coffee shop, you know.
Yeah.
People who purchase firearms and they're like, do you have any? I'm like, nah, man. But you know how many records I can buy for that?
Yeah.
Or
sell and buy and make the money back and just feel...
And more, yeah.
Yeah. One of my coworkers is like, oh, you know, I'm going to do this to my car. I'm like, well, how much is all that? He's like $5,000. I was like... $5,000, huh? I was like, you know how many records I can buy for $5,000? Totally, I was like, I can make at least $6,000 off of all those records. Yeah, I was like, no, you can't. I'm like, yeah, you can. I was like, you just got to be patient.
Yeah, totally.
I was like, what are you going to do with yours when your car breaks?
Yeah.
When you blow up your motor, put more money into it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, yeah.
Always. But, you know, to each their own, man.
Yeah, I'm not hating.
Exactly.
See, but, like, I think the biggest issue is something we always talk about is that people... They don't do it because they're like, you know, well, this guy said, I do it for the music. It's like, well, yeah, you do it for the music. Everyone does. But why did you have to tell us that?
But you do how much to you flex, pay for it? Too. Yeah.
Yeah, you said, hey, I was able to pick up this jam. Oh, you could have said it was super rare and super expensive, but, you know, it was worth it to me.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm going to give you the exact number with shipping.
Yeah, yeah.
So that way you know.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even get free shipping, man. You said $450. What a loser.
Yeah. Listen, you square. So, you know, and I think that's one of the things that bothers me the most about a lot of these guys out here. And, you know, we've talked about it last week. These dudes are trying to do, like, make their own paths and make their own way into, like, the scene. But, you know, they're creating a culture here that's just, like, unhealthy.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, we support your local folks. There's a dude that's trying to bring dudes out from California already. It's like, well, what about all the local dudes? It's like, well, they're not into what I'm into. I'm like, what, spending a shitload of money on records, on one record?
Well, you know, the funny thing about Arizona, man, there's a lot of people that do buy a lot of expensive records out here.
Yeah, and so he's just like, well, they're not into what I'm into. It's like, are you out there talking to people? Well, no. It's like, well, you're on your
phone. How do you know? Because you're on the internet.
You're on the internet on your phone.
You're
on the phone.
You're probably talking to some troll who's probably 12 years old. And you've been having this conversation through this thread for, I don't know, 6 months now. And you're all mad, but he's only 12. But you don't even realize that.
No,
square.
Yeah, it's like a square. No, but yeah, just, you know, just these somewhat e-famous collectors.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, like worshiping them, like, oh, they have this. It's like, well, that's awesome, dude. I'm really glad.
Well, see, that's the thing, right? Like, it's interesting, man. Like, I don't, that part of it is not, like you're
fun.
Saying.
It's not even fun.
It's not. It's not fun. It's not healthy. I think it's cool to be excited that you found something that was expensive. Like, that's cool. That's normal.
Like, this is a valuable record. I only paid like $5. I'm super pumped about it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's fine. But again, it goes to each their own, man. If you collect records because of the value of the record, like, that's great. And you don't want to play the record, that sucks for you. Whatever. You know, that's your choice. Like, I collect all kinds of records, expensive records, cheap records. You know, it doesn't matter. As long as I like it.
Exactly.
I'm gonna play it, you know what I mean?
Well, so. That's what I say too. It's like, I don't care what people do. I don't pay your bills. You don't pay mine. You can do whatever you want with your money and all this other stuff. I'm not going to sit here and jump out the window and shame people, whatever, yada, yada. But it's like, it comes to the point too, like where I've had, because when I go play places sometimes and there's been a few people and they're like, hey, can I look through your stuff? I'm like, oh, sure, I don't care.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, like, the prices are just on there. But then, you know, sometimes there's price tags on there that actually are not the price, just because...
Yeah, it's just like a sleeve that you had. And it was extra or whatever.
And then they're like, you really paid this for this? And I'm like, what does it matter to you? Like, if even if I did, like... And
that's
they're not
an
saying
it... See, that's an
and they're not saying
little,
it in a way where it's like, oh, like, I know somewhere where you maybe could have gotten it cheaper, where they're like, want to, like, throw you an assist. They're like, oh, you paid this? Oh, no, I would never do this. It's just like... First of all, I didn't even pay that, and second of all,
there's a flip side to the guy who's always trying to flex about how much he spent, and then there's the other
or
people,
how little he's.
Oh yeah, the guy who's always talking about, well, I would never pay that much. It's like, well, you know, there's room for everyone. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I always just like to talk about those dudes because, like, it's getting more and more popular, especially in the soul scene.
Interesting.
It's like, it's getting like, that's what it is. It's all about what you have.
Yeah,
and the value of what you have
instead of how rare it is.
Yeah, instead of it being about the music, and they're like, "Well, no, it's about the music." They're like, "It's a super dope jam. It just costs a lot of money." I'm like, "There is a gazillion songs that are just as good as that one."
You know, that's the crazy thing, man. I'll find a freaking 99-cent record, whatever, that has an amazing song on it, or is one song, or whatever, and it's the same weight as the one that costs $5,000 or whatever.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, so if you had a choice between, like, say there's a 45 that you really wanted and you could buy it an original copy for like $300, or you can just get a repress for 10, which one are you gonna buy?
See, that's really funny.
That's what I'm
that's
gonna
right
ask
now
you.
That's what, so it's like, all about.
Well, right now is where I'm like, so up until about 6 months ago, I was like, never a repress, and if it's a repress, I'm not telling nobody, you know, because it's like, I was such a purist on, like, I need to have the original.
OG.
Yeah, I need to have the original pressing and have it, like, you know, whatever. But now, you know, it's like, I you get to that point where you just, like, I enjoy the music, and I just want it in my collection. And it's a song that I want to share with people, and I want to be able to share with my family and my friends and whoever, and I just want to enjoy it. And I don't care if it's, you know, brand new or old as hell, you know? So at this point I'm like, you know, if it's a good song, fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah. That's, we got to that point like last year. I was just like, cause we were again, like, I'm like, oh, well, you know, we're collecting a lot of that, that new wave shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't want, you know, I only want like OG copies. Yeah. And I'm like, God, fuck, that's $120.
Yeah.
It's been, but I was like, but that company out in London did an actual reissue yeah. of the original copy, and it's yeah. like $50.
Totally.
I'll get the $50 copy because, you know, I'm not, for what? And yeah. it's like, and it's in, you know, it's in good shape. It's all scratched and the sleeves all fucked up.
Yeah.
And you're, exactly. that's what you're paying.
You actually can't listen to it because it like pops through the whole song.
Yeah.
You know, there's like clicks and scratches all over it. So you're like, I'm not going to spend $150 on a fucked up record for.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's just one of those things, I suppose.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when you went to DC, did you still collect there too? Like, were you digging?
Yeah, that's where I got, I think that's where I really got my, like, chops up, I guess, you know.
And how was it digging out there compared to great, man. California?
It was amazing. I mean, California had its pluses and negatives, but DC, because it's such a musical, it's so musically capital, rich, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, there's just a lot of stuff came from there, all kinds of genres, you know, a lot of jazz and just all kinds of avant-garde stuff. So, I mean, I probably found some of the craziest records I've ever in my actually my collection that I have now there actually, and I found a lot here in Phoenix.
Really? So when yeah. you came to Phoenix, like, how long have you been here? Like,
It's about 3.5 years, probably going more close to 4 years. So
when really. You first came, did you like know anything about like the musical or like
I knew nothing about Phoenix when I moved here. I literally knew nothing.
So what brought you to Phoenix?
It's kind of a weird story. I was like living in DC. It was getting really expensive to live there. I had like a, I had a room in a like a artist like warehouse that I was renting for $1,200 a month, and I had these roommates, and it was just like, you know, I was kind of sick of my day job, so I like quit my day job, and then I had a buddy. So a lot of my friends growing up, they're all, a lot of them are tattoo artists. And I'd always been interested in the tattoo stuff and the art stuff. You know, we grew up painting graffiti together, and, you know, they went to the tattoo side of the art, and I went to the more, you know, digital graphic design stuff. So one of my buddies was living out here that I grew up with, and he came out to visit me in D.C., and he was, and I was telling him, I was like, man, I gotta change something. I don't know what to do. He's like, why don't you start turning the tattoo? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not, you know? And then I was like, fuck it, yeah. And then sold all my stuff in D.C. and moved out here, drove across the country, and just moved out here to start trying to tattoo.
What the yeah. hell? Really?
So when I got an apprenticeship. I was an apprentice for a year, and that sucked.
Oh, it just wasn't for you, basically. Like.
Well, no, the situation got very complicated and super dramatic, and unnecessarily, like,
and you just don't like drama, really?
Fuck no, man. Drama was, that's mean, you know. I was like I try to move away from a lot, you know. I was like, I didn't have a lot of drama in DC, but like, it was like, you know, in DC, you, the people you were around, they just, you know, they didn't, it was like a different level. Like, where as I moved out here, the guy that I was like living with, he was just not at that level that, like, the people I was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so,
like,
the vibes weren't there.
Yeah, it was like, it got weird, it got dramatic, it just turned into this fucking kind of childish situation, and now,
and you're like, I moved out here to, like, start new.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, it's kind of weird, but basically, it was like, at that point in time in my life, it was like, I was turning, I was like 30-something, early 30s, and I was like, you know, it was like, either I'm going to start tattooing right now and get into it and fucking just make that the path, and, you know, that was it, or I'm going to not do that and figure something else out. And it was like, I needed money, and the tattooing wasn't making the money, so I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to go back to what I know, and then now I have a day job. Working in an office like a fucking chump, but it's cool.
No, not
a chump at all. Yeah. You're a responsible adult.
Yeah, you can spend $140 on a 45, Aaron.
You're not struggling.
So cool. And now we get to talk about it. Yeah,
you're not a struggling tattoo artist trying to make a name for yourself.
Yeah, you know, that was the thing. That
and
was
it's a
it.
Hustle.
That
was really
it's a process, and yeah.
you know, if I was 26, 25, 18, you know, whatever. And I would have had the time, I felt like, to commit that hustle and like that dedication to it. But I just didn't have, like, I tried, I gave it a full year. I worked at the spot and it just didn't work out, and the money wasn't there, you know? So I was like, I just,
yeah, I need
executive
to eat.
Decision.
Need
exactly.
To eat.
I need to eat. I need to fucking gas in my car to get around, you know? So.
Yeah. That's how it is. I know. It's like one of those things, because I have just a normal, regular job, too.
Yeah, we
like,
both have normal jobs.
Yeah. People are like, what do you guys actually do? I'm like, yeah, I actually have a job, you know? Yeah, and yeah.
It's pretty boring.
Yeah. There's nothing much to talk about. Yeah, like, yeah. It's boring, you know? It's just, you know, but it helps me, like, you know, not just eat and stuff, but I get to do things like this.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, because there's people, like, at tattoo shops, you're going to probably be working every weekend.
Oh, totally.
And I work a night, you know, I don't work 9 to 5, but I work Monday through Friday and I have my weekends free.
Right.
And Dre is the same. And yeah, you can say like we're chumps, but you know, we're just grown ass adults and we have responsibilities and we have the ability to do what we need to do.
Sure.
And have all the extracurriculars or spend $180 on a record. Yeah, feel like.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's, you know,
totally.
That's our lives.
You feel like being dumb.
Yeah. We feel like being
not even dumb. You feel like being like, I want to spoil myself. We're talking about spoiling yourself.
Yeah. If we're out on a date and we're like, you know what? We're just going to buy a whole bunch of food we're not going to eat, and we're going to waste it. And that's okay, because we're adults.
Yeah.
Exactly. One time we went to Oregano's, and we just got wild, like, at Oregano's for no reason. We're
for
like,
no reason.
We literally were like, too. Let's just order, like, two pieces. It's just us, two pieces of salad, this, that, and this. Yep. And then
let's get
we're
that
like,
sub, too. I don't even know why.
Looks good.
It was just, we just want to taste it.
Really cool, I guess.
And then we just, like, tipped the waiter again, because we're like, we had a good time. And then we just left with all our food, and we're like, that was a good time. We just sat there and just like did nothing.
Yeah, totally, man.
I mean, and
whatever, dude. That's exactly.
And you know,
what you do, man. Like,
yeah, and you know, again, nothing wrong with tattoo artists living their living their
I know
best
some,
lives.
We know some really
yeah,
cool
we know some really cool
yeah.
tattoo artists, but it's, you know, nothing wrong with, you know, anybody who's listening. Nothing wrong with having a 9 to 5 and, you know, collecting
not.
And shit like that.
Yeah,
because there's even with like what was it? The gentleman at Vinyl Source told us, he's like, I was like, oh, vendors. He's like, no, they're private sellers out here in California.
That's what they're going by now. They don't want to use the word vendor. They want to use the word private dealer.
Why?
I don't know. That's what he was saying. He's like,
yeah, we're having a record show, and there's going to be some vendors. He's like, wait. Private sellers.
God.
I was like,
"That's." Well, I feel like that's like a California thing, man.
You know, man.
I don't know, maybe not. I don't know, but
I think, you know, as you know, someone who's been here pretty much his whole entire life, I think it's just a California thing.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean,
you know.
Is it like a PC thing?
I don't even know.
Yeah, like, I know what you're saying, but I don't
like,
know.
I don't vend anything. I'm a private seller.
It's,
like,
it's offensive to call me
a vendor.
You know what they call a vendor? A machine.
You need to make that a shirt. Offensive to call me a vendor.
It's like a picture of a vending machine.
Oh, my God.
Not a vendor.
Yeah, I am not a vendor. Do I look like a vendor? I'm like, okay.
So when you came out here, like you said, it was like, man, at first you're like not having a good time. It's just not working out. So how did you end up, like, did you just like shop at Goodwill's, or were you trying to find record stores, or?
Well, yeah, you know, when I left DC, I sold all my stuff. I kept my art stuff and my record collection.
So how expensive was it to get your records here? Because did you put it in one of those pod things,
no,
or what
you
happened?
Know what?
Did you drive with them?
I did. I sold all my stuff. I bought a little pickup truck and just loaded whatever would fit in the back of the pickup truck and drove it across.
You got my records and my art supplies and my flannels.
So Aaron, since we've met, the day we've met Aaron, he is always wearing a flannel.
Oh, God.
And no, it's nothing wrong with it.
No, yeah.
That's just, it was just like
don't pigeonhole me, man.
It was just like your signature thing.
Okay.
It was you had your long ponytail.
Hair, yep.
Long ponytail?
Yeah.
Oh, you had a butt, like a bun in the back.
Yeah.
With a flannel. So it was always, it's Aaron. Hey,
it's uniform.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah, it's just his uniform.
It's what I'm comfortable in.
There's nothing wrong with
that.
Because I wish I had as many flannels as you. Because it makes me jealous. That's what it is.
I can loan
like,
you some if you want. Yeah.
Andrew's like, if you want to sell some, I'll buy some.
Yeah.
He's all, trade you this 45 for a flannel.
Yeah. What do you got?
45s and flannels.
Oh, no.
Oh, dude, that's going to be the next record
pretty
show.
Good. That's pretty
that's
good.
That's the next record show. Oh, my God. 45s and flannels. Oh. Jesus. Drake had some heaters the other day.
I always come up with random, like, usually the names of the episodes, the titles, I come up usually with those. But he does all the flyers and stuff because he's like, what's your name? So I'm like, ah, no. I'm like, well, so it comes up in topic combo. So let's go from there.
45s and flannels. Cool. So, you know, so coming over here.
I kept my collection. Well, I got rid of a bunch of it. Probably some of it I shouldn't have got rid of, but yeah, whatever. You know, easy come, easy go. So I had a couple boxes, and then they just sat in my house, in my apartment, for while I was, like, working, because I was solely focused on tattooing. And then after the tattoo thing fell apart, and I was kind of, I didn't know anyone here, I was like, I got to do something. And then I was like, I know. I'm just going to find records. I'm going to go back to what I know.
You're all familiar.
Yeah, you know. So I was, you know, just making my rounds. And, you know, it's fun. And then I got to meet a lot of people, which is kind of how we all met.
Yeah.
So.
So, yeah, we met you again. We met you at the Knights of Columbus. Yeah. And then we kind of built our, like, friendship, I guess you can say, here at Grand Avenue through Coco, which is... Which is somebody we always talk about on this podcast.
Which is so funny. Actually, he used to work at a shop in L.A. that I used to go to as a kid, and I remember seeing him.
Are you serious? Yeah. That's so funny.
I thought he was such a dick.
Did you ever tell him?
I did.
What did he say?
He's like, yeah. Well, that's probably an asshole.
Whatever.
And then I was going through some of his old photos, and I found a picture of the front of the store of, like, the store that he worked at. He had, like, a picture of it, and I, like, pulled it out and gave it to
him.
Yeah,
what a dick.
I hate dick.
No, I was like, remember this, man? This place was so cool. He's like, yeah, man. You know,
he's like, this is where I met, where I saw you. That's so crazy, though. How
funny. It's weird. It's like small little world type shit. Yeah.
That's true.
Coco, yeah, we don't know Coco until we met him.
Until we met him here. But we always try to tell people, we're like, Coco's... He's really just loves music. Like,
oh, yeah, man.
Like, he's, I mean, most record store owners do, like, love music, but he's super passionate about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you came out here, you just, like you said, you were making your rounds, and then you just end up running into this record store when it opened up?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, man, when I moved out here, I didn't know anybody. I knew the guy that I moved in with, and, you know, that kind of just petered out. We were just not talking anymore, and then... Then I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'm bored. I want to go fucking at least communicate with some other humans on something we can communicate about, you know? Like, so I'd just go to record shops and just talk to people and, like, see what they had, you know? And, you know, that was pretty much...
Just built yourself up from there?
Like, yeah, just started meeting people and then, you know how it
goes. But that's good because you're saying if you would have just relied on your phone and been like, I'm just going to talk to people through the phone, you really wouldn't be meeting people, you know?
You know, I mean, I grew up before the cell phone stuff, so, you know, I didn't always have it, so I also...
You don't feel like you have to rely on it. That's kind of like us.
Yeah.
We
grew
up before it was, like, a thing.
I mean, social media is, like, one of the things we have to do for this podcast. And
I think, you know, and that's the thing. There's no... The thing about the internet and the you know, social media stuff is, like, there's a lot of beautiful stuff that comes from that. And it's, like, it's important, and it's... If we don't have that... You know, not that it would be worse, but, you know, it's just, it would be different. And I think it's important that it's there. And there's good things and bad things about those things, you know, just
so
like
how you utilize it.
Yeah. Just like we were talking about earlier. The
it's just, you know, it's how you use it. If you use it appropriately and in a good way, like, awesome. If you want to sit there and watch, you know, binge watch fail videos for fucking 2 weeks straight, cool, man. But, you know, I don't know, that seems kind of boring, you know?
Yeah, I follow, like, a lot of art stuff. Like, I can't even draw a circle, but I enjoy looking at art just like most other people. But, like, I follow a lot of art stuff, not just here, but just from, if I see something cool, I'll just follow it. I'm like, oh, they provide cool content. Yeah. Like, I can't travel all the way to Spain.
Totally.
I don't know when I'm going to, and I'm not going to punish myself and say, like, I can't go. I can't experience that in person. But you know what? Yeah, I can't experience in person yet, but I can follow it and appreciate it because someone took the time to make that.
And those are the positives that I think that are, like, you know, great about the social media stuff and the internet experience. And it's cool, you know? So, you know, the internet isn't a good or a bad thing. It's a thing. It's just, yeah, it is.
It's just a thing.
Yeah, it is. And it's, yeah, it's great.
So
it doesn't really matter.
So when did you get, like, into, because we always talk about, like disco and funk and soul music. Yeah. When did you really get into that? Was it always something you got into, or?
I think dance music I was always kind of into, just because my mom was really into, like top 40 pop shit. And my dad was really into, like, new wave stuff. So that, like, helped. But, like, you know, when I was a teenager, like I said, I was, like, super judgmental about all of that.
But that's,
like,
how teenagers that's a fucking are. Teen You're thing. A teenager. Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Everybody's, your parents suck. Everything's fucking shit, blah, blah, blah. You know,
yeah, like, I have a 13-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, you know. You know.
We're going through that shit. Right now.
Yeah, I was like,
Dad's wearing his Cure shirt again.
Yeah, fucking loser.
Poser.
He doesn't really like the Cure.
What do you know about the Cure?
Yeah.
Well, it's like my daughter, my brother used to wear Thrasher, but he doesn't anymore. And then he just gave her the shirt, so now she wears it. And we're like, "Do you even skate, Mimi?
Oh,
do
you guys
really
are judging
skate?
Her,
like,
dude.
Joking
oh,
on her, gosh, and she's like, dude. Shut up, Dad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you even skate?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's, you know, that's just, I think.
But
the,
now Thrash is just a brand.
It's just a brand now. It's not, now. Just it's not a skate brand anymore, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, so I was always into, like, dance music. And, you know, I'd never tell my friends. You know, I'd like,
dance, you know, you're like, all, it was underground as fuck.
Yeah, it's super underground. It was just me in my bedroom. I had headphones on here. And, yeah, you know, but I didn't really start appreciating as much until probably my late 20s, especially being in DC with a lot of the, like, DC go-go music.
So what's that?
It's kind of hard. If you know who, Chuck Brown is.
I would say no.
Okay.
He's like, crap. So is it just like, is it more like horn driven or like?
It's like call and response, they say. It's like very repetitive. It's like a dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Okay.
It's like very, it's like Trouble Funk. If you've ever heard that band, they're like real, that's like pretty much quintessential like go-go, DC go-go. But it's anyways, DC kind of has their own spot, like style of funk music. They call it go-go, DC go-go.
Have you ever met D-Rock?
I don't think so.
Okay, D-Rock, he's a super amazing, cool guy. He, have you heard of those Phoenix Funkettos, that funk group here? It's three guys. So D-Rock is one of the three.
Yeah.
And he is actually initially from El Paso. We interviewed him. That's how we know all cool. this. But he moved to D.C. for a bit.
Dope.
And he said that he used to do, or Maryland, but he used to go to D.C.
Yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
And he's super into, like, funk music because of
the D.C. go-go scene. Yeah. So the D.C. go-go scene was, it was kind of like the party scene. It like the party crew kind of scene. Like it was very similar to that. Like you'd have like go-go kids and they were like hood, like just dudes from the hood that like would go to the parties and like, you know, fight or, you know, just chaos and drama
stupid
and
stuff,
shit.
Yeah.
But, so that there's like a real, stigma with some of it. Like, and maybe not so much now, but maybe about 10 years ago, it was still like very, like everyone thought like it was like gangs were associated with it because there's like go-go crews.
Kind of like the Chicano, on the West, the Chicano aspect of the party crew where people feel like it's just all gang driven.
Exactly. Okay. Same kind of thing. But you know, it was more about the music and stuff. So, yeah.
So you weren't, were you in a go-go crew?
No.
Girl, no, I've never rolled with the crew.
No, I mean graffiti crews, yes, but not never any like party crews or.
You're just the guy that likes to show up, and you're like, "Hey, what's up?"
Yeah, man? Yeah. My friends were like part of that shit. And I just did, you know, I'd go hang out with them, but it was never like part of that. You know.
So, did you ever travel when you're on the East Coast, like up anywhere to dig or anything like that?
I mean, I would go out to the country. You go to Virginia.
Did you ever go to Philly?
I've been to Philly, but I never really dug there.
I hear it's insane.
It probably is. I could definitely see that. Yeah. There's like Pittsburgh, Philly, New York, obviously. You know, I like, I don't, for me, digging is more about like finding like dingy shit spots that are like off the path of like big cities or, you know, like smaller towns around maybe Philly. I've definitely dug around there. But, you know.
So did you feel that way when you first came here in a way, because it was a brand new place. You've never been here, and like, you don't really know. And there's been a lot of record stores that just been popped up in the last few years.
Oh, totally, man. No, so like, I guess, so like on the East Coast, there's like a rich history with all kinds of things. You know, people, the first towns or, you know, cities were built on the East Coast. So there's like, you know, years and years and years of just things, all kinds of antiques and shit. You know what I mean? Just all old streets, old fucking buildings, old families, whatever. So there's a lot of history. But on the West, I feel like it was, there is that, but it's, you know, it's obviously not that colonial buildup of people's lives and shit. So here it was like, there was like culture in Phoenix. Like, what? There's no culture in Phoenix. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, it's not, this isn't like, you know, like the Philly fucking soul scene and shit like that, you know, like it's like, or like New York fucking like pumping.
Boogie and stuff,
and like the disco and, you know, like all that, like anything kind of, if it's not like LA, Chicago, New York, you know, I'm like, obviously it's just kind of like a, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But once I got to Phoenix, I kind of actually got to understand that this, there's actually the funk, some of the funk that was coming out of here is insane. It is wild, like really, really good stuff. And apparently you can catch one of the guys still around playing.
Really?
Yeah, his name's what's his name? Shoot, I'm spacing on it. It'll come to me though. Come back to me.
We'll ask you another time. Like, Aaron, what's the name, Aaron?
And you said you're finding those records just at random spots. You're not
always, yeah. I'm not.
You're patient. That's what we say. You're patient.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like the process of like going through records and just kind of like seeing what's out there. It's interesting, you know. It's like reading a book or something. You know, it's just
That's like us when we went to Vinyl Source. We were there for 5 hours.
Totally, man.
But just talking to the owner of the store, his assistant, and like digging and him just pulling stuff out. And it's like, to us, it's kind of like that too. Like, it's the whole like, yeah, you want to find stuff, but it's just like looking to see what's there, discovering something maybe you might not know about. Or
there are millions. So think about how many records are here in Arizona. Think about how many records are in the United States. Think about how many records are in other countries. That's a lot of fucking music, man. That's a lot of shit. Like,
you're not going to know everything. There's not anybody who knows everything.
I mean, you'll meet people that know
a lot,
you know, but like,
but it's impossible to know about. It's like, it's literally impossible. Like, some people know way more.
You know what's
great
about that is that it's so, that's really intriguing. You know, it's really, it's mysterious. It's like, you know, some guy fucking had an idea to make a 7-inch, you know, little 45 with 2 songs on it. That one song is fucking shit. The next song, the other song on the other side is like amazing. You're like, you know, and he only put one, he only had 600 copies, and they're just,
that's it.
And that's it.
Somewhere in the world.
Yeah. They're there.
Ones that are left.
Yeah. You know, and it's, you know,
they might be in some record studio right now sitting in a box underneath there or donating.
In the fucking basement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or whatever, in the attic, you know, just sitting, just collecting dust, and nobody will ever know. And so, it's still there, but maybe one day you will find it.
Well, hopefully I will find it.
Well, I mean, so, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's this dude that I talked to. He found, I forget, I think it was Supernatural Woman, I think, or Supernatural something. I can't remember the actual song, so sorry. But he found original copies of this, that of like 30 original copies of this 45.
Yeah.
And so he found them out in the Midwest somewhere.
Yep.
And some dude had an estate sale. He found them all brand new print.
Perfect. Exactly.
And he's like, do you want any of these? He's like, yeah, you can have them. So then the dude called him again. He's like, hey, I found more copies of that record in my basement. He's like, he found like another 40 copies. And he's like, you know, I sold all of them.
Yeah.
Obviously. He's like, I mean, you know, he made money on them.
Sure.
But he's like, you know, that music was thought to be dead and it was a really high dollar record, but there was more copies of it.
They were just sitting there in somebody's basement.
Well, that's the thing, man. You know, you never know. Like, it's such a crazy journey of... And it's cool because it's like it's like a time capsule of just like this thing that existed. It's fucking great. It's crazy. Super weird.
Yes, it is. It's very weird.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's fucking weird that something that's so old still holds so much value to so many people, especially now.
Monetarily. I mean, shit, fuck, man. the monetary value, you know, I think the monetary value isn't as important as the sentimental value that it holds for that person that's listening to it. But, you know, that's the thing I think that going back to what we were talking about earlier, a lot of people, I think, you know, they use the monetary value to base their, you know, like
the actual worth of the record when that's actually not.
That's not what it's really. Yeah. Should, I mean, it, you know, like we said earlier, too, it's do whatever you want. You know, it's, you know.
Yeah, but.
To each their own, but.
But if someone says something to you about how you're collecting, don't get offended. Don't
exactly.
Get,
yeah,
don't get
yeah,
offended.
Yeah.
You can't be offended by someone telling you, I would never spend that money because that's just not me.
Cool. Exactly. That's good.
That's
for you.
But, you know, you can
everybody has
you
different
want.
Priorities or whatever you want to call it.
And, you know, like, that's an opinion that. Who gives a fuck, man? Like, you know, like,
do what you want.
Yeah, like, I don't want to hear your, you know, you want to tell me that? That's great. But we're probably not going to be that good of friends, and I'm probably not going to talk to you ever again. So.
Because, you know what? You're just kind of an asshole.
And you're kind of basic.
Yeah. you're just a basic bitch. Yeah.
So,
And this one is probably not going to locate it.
So, what kind of setup do you have at home? We never asked you.
I have two techniques. My mixer is kind of on the fritz right now. I need to buy a new mixer. I have a Newmark. I don't know.
And just a basic Newmark mixer. Yeah. We only have a 2-channel mixer at home. It's a Pioneer. Right?
Yeah, Pioneer. Yeah.
I have a 4-channel my buddy's working on right now. It's kind of cool, but I don't know. He says it's not in terrible shape, so we'll see. It might be totally dead. I don't know.
I mean, mixers are one of those things. Oh, this is just my personal opinion. As long if you're not doing much, it's not going to really make that huge of a difference. Like I said, I bought a Pioneer.
Depending on your setup, totally. If you're listening in your house and just like you want to fuck around, like that's great. But if you want to like if you're going to play like a party or something and you have like a really good sound system, if you have a really nice mixer, it'll like push that sound and it'll make that sound.
Yeah, because you have a power the amount of
you have the sound to push it. So.
Yeah, but so you know, like a 2-channel, like basic, like Newmark M2.
Yeah,
yeah, you can just do that for whatever. But if you're playing like at a dope ass club with a dope ass sound system, you're gonna want something a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely.
So I mean, Coco talks about that all the time. Like he talks about his mixer, which is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, that I think what is it, Ula or something?
I don't know. It's like a rotary or some shit like that.
It's a really nice mixer.
Yeah,
I mean. I wish I could afford that mixer.
I'm sure it wasn't cheap.
No. It's like, I think you can get one for $3,000, about 3,000.
Yeah.
I mean, Coco's been in the game forever.
Yeah, but when you're in the game, when you're
I mean, you know, his priority about it is a little more.
And he's like, you know, DJ and like all that, you know. I play music to share it and to enjoy it. Like, I'm not rocking any clothes myself or anything, so. Yeah.
It's alright.
Well, okay, good. Don't worry. I'm off looking
at it. Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not a huge gear guy.
Neither are we, like, because we're not audiophiles and whatnot, but we see some people that are like, I have this cool old mixer, but then it's like, well, your turntables don't really go with your mixer. Like, you're not really, the mixer's not doing that much for you because of, like,
your setup, your turntable
setup.
Yeah,
and it's just like, and it's cool if you're like, oh, I'm going to buy this piece first and then I'm going to upgrade the other ones later or whatever. It's like, oh, that's cool.
There is a huge, like, debate, too, about, like, audiophile stuff. Like, a lot of people, like, sounds the same to me, man. But I don't know. I think hi-fi audio is an actual thing.
Oh,
and you have to have the equipment to understand it. And you have to have a lot of fucking money to get that equipment. Because, you know, some of these dudes are running like an amplifier for every fucking speaker they have.
Yeah, totally.
And it is ridiculous to think that just for what? For one song. Yeah, I have to hear that. Just like, did you hear that ting?
Yeah, yeah.
You hear how much ting's better?
Yeah.
It's like, bro.
Yeah. Or so,
it's like Dark Side of the Moon. Have you listened to it in hi-fi? All right, yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe I haven't.
No, I haven't.
Or like...
I don't think I have either, but you know what I'm saying, man.
You have.
You will hear it.
That's the only way to appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
How dare you not listen?
Yeah. Or like Dario from Stinkweed, when we interviewed him, he said he actually has like one of the gramophone things, like, you know what I'm talking about? And he has this Billie Holiday 78 that he plays. He's like, and I know there'd be like someone that was, if they knew like what I was, that was just playing it. He's like, every time I play it, it's basically killing the record because shavings come off of it.
Yeah.
He's all, but you know what? That's how it was intended to sound. It sounds good to me. He's all, maybe has some pops, but he's like, I enjoy it because he just enjoys music.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. Yeah. If you enjoy it, do it, man. Yeah, as long as it isn't hurting anyone, go for it. You're good.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm like, Andrew's so tall when he stands up.
I'm just adjusting myself.
So, is there anything else you want to say, Aaron, to the people in podcast land?
Go to the record show at the Crescent Ballroom on December 8th. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. If you're into records, it's going
to
be fun.
And come to the Grand Avenue Festival. He'll be here somewhere with Miguel painting.
Yeah, somewhere on Grand. I'm not sure exactly.
Oh, you'll see. You'll see me in my flannel.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll get naked for that.
He's like,
I'm people what they really want.
He's like, I'm going to
have... Or just wear the flannel, nothing else.
He's going to wear
Look
a flannel.
Look for the guy in the flannel diaper.
Oh, my God.
This is getting body painted.
Actually, Miguel's going to be painting me
flannel,
live.
Flannel.
He's going to paint me flannel.
Flannel, yeah. I'm going to paint flannel right on my skin.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'll be a man of the wilderness.
Well, you said you love the forest.
That's great, man. Have you been?
Well, I've been to a... But I've never... I haven't really actually experienced that in a long time. But I know what you're saying, because being from here, the desert, and like, all the other stuff. And when I... The first time I went even here, like, up north, because I wasn't... I was a bit older the first time I really went up north and stuff. I was just like... Wow, like I didn't see the ocean until I was 22.
Okay.
And me experiencing that, like I was like, I so appreciate this right now. Like it's so vast and beautiful. I'm like, oh, like I had a moment like just standing there.
Yeah.
It doesn't end. It
doesn't.
Until you get to the next shore, it's not done.
Well,
it's
and I
really
explained
big.
Because he was born in California and he'd gone to the ocean and stuff before. So I tried to explain to him, like, you have to think, Andrew's like, I've only ever seen the ocean on TV and in a book. I've never seen the beach or the ocean in person. Like, I was like, you don't understand, like, how phenomenal this experience
totally
is. So it's like, I don't know, it's just pretty amazing. So I totally get what you're saying because, like, you come from, like, just cactus and brown and
it's great. I mean, the desert is beautiful, and I love both.
Now that I'm older, I appreciate it, though. I really do like the desert, the atmosphere and stuff, and, like, I don't know. So I can appreciate both now. I appreciate everything. Yeah. I think it just comes with age.
Yeah, exactly. Time. It's all about time.
Time.
You know, just if you're open to experiencing new things, new stuff and new whatever, you know, then it'll give you that, you know, that new experience. But if you're not, then
you're just going to be... All by yourself.
Then you'd be stuck in the desert.
And hating it.
Yeah, or, you know, not giving a shit.
Thank you so much for coming, Aaron, for giving us your time, because time is the most valuable thing that people have, we always say. So
thank you.
You're an awesome guest.
Yeah, man, appreciate you. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate you guys, you know, Grand, for letting us sit in his backyard. Grand Avenue.
Yeah, me too.
The club. Yeah. Club Grand back here. But thank you so much. So remember, Downtown Phoenix Record Show is December 8th. If you want a table, email.
You can email us at dtphxrecordshow@gmail.com. And if you have any questions or anything, just, you know, email us or hit us up on Instagram or Facebook and we'll help you.
Cool. And I guess that's pretty much it. With that, I guess just don't stop digging and just keep spinning.
Thanks.
See you.